Welcome to Law Talk Live. I'm Jeffrey Meldon, founder of Meldon Law, and we have a great show for you today. A lot of interesting stuff going on in Gatorland here. We got football in 2 weeks, so Utah's coming, 7 o'clock game. Everybody's all excited about it, and we've got a new coach, so the Billy Napier era is getting ready to start, and we've got a good topic for you today. If I'm taking a walk and I get hit by an irresponsible driver, what should I do next? It's a topic that we see in the office actually more frequently than you would think. I'm joined here today by my co-host, law partner, Carrie Meldon. How you doing today, Carrie?
Good morning. I'm doing great. I'm happy to be here. I think we've got an exciting show today, and I'm looking forward to exploring this topic that you were just talking about.
Yeah, so what's your initial thought? I mean, you're not in a car, and you're walking, and obviously we've had a lot of cases, and usually the pedestrian gets the worst of it when they're hit by a motor vehicle.
Yeah, if the pedestrian's not getting the worst of it, they're probably not human, but most of the times, what happens is the pedestrian is crossing in some type of a crosswalk or trying to cross the street and is struck by a vehicle. I will say one of the things that kind of sucks out there for the motorists is even if the pedestrian is jaywalking or may be walking in the crosswalk a little bit too late, you can still be found at fault, even though the pedestrian may not have a legal right to be in that roadway, because the courts have recognized the damage that a car can do to a human. So the vehicles have an obligation to be more cautious when they're on the road, even if they think the pedestrian may be jaywalking. In other words, if you see someone jaywalking, that doesn't give you the legal right to run them over.
Yeah, there's a last clear chance to avoid an accident, right? And, you know, if you see a dog in the middle of the road, you know, you try to stop or swerve or do something, right? So if you see a human being in the road and you've got the green light, it doesn't give you a license to run that person
over. As much as you may want to speed up and run their asses over because they're jaywalking, you can't do it. Sorry for the language.
Well, I don't. But what's interesting is, as a pedestrian hit by a motor vehicle, your car insurance kicks in. Not only can you get your medical bills paid through your car insurance, but if you have uninsured motorist coverage, that applies as well.
Correct. So that's something that is important. If you are a pedestrian but you and you don't have a vehicle and you don't have anyone in your household that has a vehicle, you actually may even be able to claim what's called personal injury protection insurance against the vehicle that struck you, which doesn't sound right because you don't own insurance, but sometimes you can get what's called adverse PIP or PIP provided by the vehicle that hit you.
Yes. And there's other benefits as well. So when we take a case, one of the first things we're looking at is the person who struck the pedestrian, what kind of insurance do they have? And then what kind of insurance does our client, the pedestrian, have? And many times we collect more money from the uninsured motorist claim because our clients oftentimes have uninsured motorist coverage. If you don't have uninsured motorist coverage, you need to run out and get it immediately, because in the state of Florida, there's no mandatory bodily injury liability insurance, which means the other person who causes a crash, whether it's car to car, car to pedestrian, car to motorcycle, car to whatever it is, the other person probably doesn't have enough insurance to compensate you for your losses. So really
if you get struck while you're walking, usually your losses can be easily in the six figures and sometimes even more.
Yeah, we've had a lot of seven-figure cases where people are struck by motor vehicles as pedestrians, and the injuries are often serious.
And there are seven-figure cases, but there's no insurance, no underinsured or uninsured motorist coverage. And so guess what the case is worth?
Correct. So
nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing.
So
people are living with literally they can't walk, they can't perform their daily functions. Their life has been turned upside down. It's affecting their family, their children, and guess what? They just have to deal with it, even though they weren't doing anything wrong.
So the good news is we wrote the book, Buying Florida Auto Insurance. It's free. You go on meldenlaw.com, our website, and you can get a PDF download of it. And in one page, it tells you what kind of insurance you need. So you can either call the office at 352-373-8000 or go to our website, meldenlaw.com, and get it downloaded immediately. And it'll tell you all about insurance and what kind you need. And we encourage you to go to a local agent who can customize what you really need rather than someone who is trying to sell you the cheapest insurance, because usually the cheapest insurance provides fewer benefits.
Rob, do we have anyone on the line right now?
We've got Joe on the line.
Okay, Joe. Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
How you doing this
Joe.
Morning?
We're doing fine. It's a beautiful day, and I'm looking forward to chatting with you, and thank you for having me on.
All right. Well,
Joe, I was going to tell you, we're getting ready to go to a quick break right now. We're going to have you back on. We have Joe Beatty, who is...
Joe Beatty,
on, and we're going to be right back in 60 seconds. Everybody knows that Meldon Law is the only official injury law firm partner of the Florida Gators. However, since we first opened our doors in 1971, we've been your community partner as well. With over 600 scholarships awarded through our Meldon Law Scholar Athlete Program, as well as our Veterans Making a Difference initiative, Meldon Law now has offices in Gainesville, Ocala, and Lake City. MeldonLaw.com, where we won't back down. We are back on Law Talk Live. I'm Jeffrey Meldon here with my co-host and law partner, Carrie Meldon. We have a special call-in guest today, Joe? Hello?
Jolie Beatty.
Hey, Jolie Beatty. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fine, and I'm glad to be there with Carrie, too. It's been a long time since I've... seen or talked to him.
Yeah, well, we're happy to have you on this morning. Jeffrey was telling me we got some big things coming up very shortly, and you're on the show today for a very important reason. So why don't, Jeffrey, why don't you go ahead and kind of explain to the listeners what's going on in Alachua County and what we've got to look forward to.
Yeah, Joe, why don't you tell the listeners what you're running for and what the high points of your platform are?
Okay. I'm running for City Commission District 2, and excuse me, a little background. I've got engaged and pulled into being really active citizen with the beginnings of the biomass plant, and through that time, I've been there 15 years because I watched that unfold. I tried to stop it, you know, for the best interest of citizens, especially those who were going to be the most impacted, the people that can least afford it. And since then, I've observed the decision-making processes and what I think are the poor practices of the city commission. I've watched the people be taken out of the room and out of the process. And, you know, it's all coming to a head now. People are really becoming aware with the this exclusionary zoning issue, and I just after 15 years, it was either go away and play with my grandchildren, or I saw this election as an opportunity to change the commission. You've got a lot of good candidates running, and I think that I know I'm the best prepared of any of the candidates and better prepared than the 26 people I've seen over the 15 years sit up on that dais. So,
yeah, Joe, I wanted to ask you a little bit about this exclusionary zoning. I know it passed by a narrow margin of 4-3, I believe, and a lot of folks have are against it. As I understand it, exclusionary zoning, that the new bill that's passed, means you can take a single family home lot anywhere in the city of Gainesville and build a duplex, triplex, or quadruplex on that lot, depending on the size. Is that correct?
That's absolutely my understanding. It's essentially you know, taking away any kind of zoning under the guise that it's racist to have these single family zones. But there's a lot of controversy, and the real interesting thing is the people that they're purporting to protect, you know, in this, using this racism flag, you know, the black communities are all against this, and so this has been the most unifying item, you know, across the city, and bad news. They didn't even, aside from just being bad on the surface, they have rushed to push this through. They haven't considered the infrastructure needs. They haven't, you know, and I think it's illegal in the end. I think it's going to not be able to be enforced. But right now it's up at the state for their review, and there's some back and forth procedures, and then there'll be a second vote.
Well, Joe, I know this is a big topic in Gainesville, that the African-American community seems to be against it, even though it's purported to help poor folk out. It seems like everybody wants to maintain the integrity of single-family zoning. I don't know where the concept originated, but as I understand it, the idea is you can get more housing in a the same area for the city and create more affordable rents and things like that. Isn't that what they're selling?
That's what they're selling. But you've got experts here, like Kim Tanzer, who is an expert in this area. You know, a lot of people, and it just doesn't hold water. It just doesn't make sense, because the building costs and everything else. This is really it's good for developers, and it looks like, you know, this is good for, seems to be geared really more to the, you know, it's the student population, you know, all this density they're putting in close to the university. And what's happening is pricing people out, and I don't think that they're really, you know, under the guise of affordable housing, it just doesn't make sense, because there are a lot of things that are impacting our affordability of the housing, which they're not addressing, which is the GRU issue, the utilities, you know.
Yeah, I know you were against the biomass plant, which wound up costing us $750 million penalty, which we're going to be paying off.
Let me jump in. I want to ask Joe a question real quick. One of the social media accounts I enjoy following is Ed Bilarski. And one of his things that he's talking about is, if he's elected for mayor of Gainesville, he wants to undo this zoning restriction. Would he, as a mayor, have the power, just for the audiences out there, would he have the power to be able to undo that measure that was passed? And if not, how could we overturn that if it's not overturned at the state level?
Kerry, that's an excellent question. Let me... I'm really glad you brought that up, because we have a weak mayor, city manager, weak mayor form of government. It's a council, and it's the commission. So really, although we've had recent mayors, especially Poe, have arrogated unto themselves powers which they really don't have, and we've had commissioners that didn't know they could stop it or didn't care to stop it. I don't know which. So, you know, the only thing the mayor is supposed to really do is receive service, set the agenda, and run the meetings. That's the only difference between the mayor and the commissioners. Anything that happens, happens by a vote of the commission. You have to have a 4-3 vote. And that's one of the things that's kept me engaged, that I've, you know, been arguing for the process, and we don't have a process that's being used. And so, no, the mayor would not be able to do it. He would have to, as one of the seven, somebody would have to make a motion, and four at least would have to agree for any action of the commission. And that's where part of what where we've gone off the rails in the past years. Now, as to whether a new commission with a new majority could change things, there's a lot going on. As I understand it, I'm not a lawyer. You guys are. First of all, if this goes into effect and some a developer, anybody buys a property thinking they can put a quad on it next door to me or you or whatever, and they reverse this and say you can't, then it's kind of, as I understand, sort of a taking. And there's a thing called the Burton, I think it's Burton-Harris rule, that talks about that, and like, everybody would have to be compensated because they've lost value in their property. So there are ways. There's a group called Gainesville Neighborhood Voices that is looking into this. There are a lot of people that are really following this. I think some of the foundations were laid in the August 4th meeting where evidence was really put on there, reasons for them to vote against this, both procedural reasons and, you know, just errors that they've made in the process. And so I think there'll be some delays, you know, if this passes on a second, assuming it gets through the state process and they vote and pass it on the second reading, it's an ordinance changes and they need to pass them twice. If it passes on the second one, I think there'll be legal actions taken to look at this longer. And if that happens and it gets slowed down and it doesn't go in force, we see the new commission with a different mindset, and the commission says, no, we don't want to do this, and stops it before it actually gets enacted, then it can, you know, I see it can be reversed. And I'm very optimistic that that's going to happen. I think that finally news has gotten out to the community and people are much more aware of what's going on in this town. Ever since the biomass and before, information didn't get out to the public. The Gainesville Sun wasn't saying what was going on so much, and the city commission always paints their own kind of message. And that was the problem when we were fighting the biomass. It was really hard to get the message out to the public.
Well, Joe, I need to interrupt you.
Sure.
We're getting ready to go to a break, but can you just say what you're running for, what district, and so everybody knows who you are, and if they want to vote for you, they'll look for you on the ballot.
Okay, that's great. I'm Joe Lee Beatty. I'm running for City Commission District 2. I'm the first one on the ballot. So it's easy to find me, and I want to bring the public back into the process. I want to bring the process back to what it should be, and everybody have their input, and do everything in the sunshine, which I don't believe is happening now.
Well, thank you very much for calling. Yeah.
However you say it.
Yeah, we appreciate it, Joe, and good luck in your election.
Much, and I'm glad for the opportunity to speak with you both.
Okay.
Thank you, Joe.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
We're going to take a 60-second break and be back on Law Talk Live. Dedicated to giving back to our community, our Veterans Making a Difference program honors the over 20,000 veterans in North Central Florida. We're here for our veterans, our community, and we'll be there when you need someone on your side after a serious accident. Meldon Law, the only official injury law firm partner of the Florida Gators, now with offices in Gainesville, Ocala, and Lake City. We're back on Law Talk Live. I'm Jeffrey Meldon, and we are live if you want to give us a shout. 877-975-9825. Big day today. Tom Petty Festival, Tom Petty Tribute Band is playing at the Riley Auditorium in Ocala at 7 o'clock tonight. There are seats available, so check it out. Go to the Riley and get your seats. It should be a great evening tonight. Meldon Law is going to be there. We're giving away shirts, Meldon Law shirts. Some of you know I was Tom Petty's first lawyer, and we're celebrating Tom's contribution to music and being a hometown favorite. So anyhow, that's one thing going on. And, of course, we're giving away a lot of stuff for Gator sports. The Utah game's coming up, Kerry. We're giving away two seats and a $100 gift certificate to Spurrier's Gridiron Grill. So that's going to be a huge game.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of excitement. It's obviously Labor Day weekend, which is a big deal because it's also the first Gator football weekend. And it looks like the Gators are going to have some very difficult scheduling early on this year. So every game is going to count.
Yeah, we got you know, Utah ranked in the top 10, I think number 7. Then we got Kentucky ranked somewhere around 20. And then we have to go on the road and play at Neyland Stadium against Tennessee. And we're doing all of that in the first four games. So it's going to be quite a challenge for the Gators. However, I think we've got an exciting era coming up. Billy Napier looks like the real deal. I think he's getting the mindset of the players in the right place. You know, we have to have, excuse me, the mindset of not making too many penalties, executing properly. And a lot of the games last year that we lost, if we would have been more disciplined, I think we would have had a chance to win some of those.
Sure, yes. All right. Well, we got a few more minutes left. If we is there any other things you want to talk about in terms of there are elections coming up soon? There's early voting right now, meaning that you can actually vote, at least in Gainesville, at any center that you want to walk up to. You don't have to. It doesn't have to be your designated precinct. It could be any center in the city of Gainesville and vote. There's a lot of city commission positions that are up. The mayoral position that's up. We've got obviously the judicial campaign. Dan Wiseman was on our show. He is a former Airborne Army Ranger, and he has the opportunity to win a rare position in the Gainesville Judicial Eighth Circuit. If people out there want to go vote for him. He has been a good friend of mine for a long time, so I'm supporting Dan at this election. There's also going to be, as Jeffrey said, tonight, the Wildflowers, which is a Tom Petty cover band at the Riley Center. I have not been to the Riley Center. It's located in Ocala. If you are interested in going, I think it's, $30 a ticket?
Something like that.
It's not too much, but someone was telling me that the Riley Center is actually really nice. It's an art center. And it's going to be a really good acoustic opportunity to listen to some good music and have a good time.
They went through a major renovation not too long ago, and it's a terrific place to go and listen to music. And we're partnering up, you know, with Tom Petty band and giving away Tom Petty shirts. So it's going to be fun. And everything we do is free, so check it out. And we'll be glad to have you there. We're going to be there. A bunch of folks from the office are coming to the Tom Petty show tonight, so it should be fun.
Yep. So with that being said, is there anything else you want to talk about in terms of any other fun things? We've obviously, for the listeners out there, if you want to watch some incredible podcasts, Jeffrey has been hosting Meldon Law and Friends since 2020, and it's two local celebrities in the Lake City, Gainesville, and Ocala area that come on, and it's videotaped and or audiotaped, and you can watch it on any platform. If you go to our website, www.meldonlaw.com, that's www.meldonlaw.com, you can watch any episode you want, and you can go see some, who some of these guests are. It's all easily identifiable on our website, and it's something that I implore people to go listen to. If you want to learn more about the people that are actually changing our lives, we focus on national politics sometimes too much and not so much on local influencers. And these are the people that are changing the way that we live our lives both today and in the future. So I do, once again, want everyone to know out there that there's a lot of different platforms. All that means is that there's a lot of different ways to listen to our podcast. The easiest way is probably going to our website, www.meldonlaw.com, and you can click on our podcast page, and then they'll tell you the different ways in which you can watch and or listen to them.
Yeah, we just finished episode 94. So that's we're coming up on 2 years that we've had this podcast, and it's great. We have people from all over the community. Very, you know, we've had Steve Spurrier on, and we've had famous doctors and all kinds of interesting people. And if you go to our Facebook page, Meldon Law Facebook, you'll see it there, and you can jump on and listen to your favorite guest. Anyhow, I think we're getting ready to wind up the show. It's 2 weeks until kickoff. So, Gator fans, get ready. And what do we say at the end of every show, Carrie?
Go Gators!